Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, October the 23rd, and welcome to our commentary. I want to begin today congratulating the Philadelphia Phillies for winning the National League pennant. They will be meeting the winner of the Houston Yankees series whenever that ends. That could end tonight, but we're not sure about that. But anyway, congratulations to the Phillies. Probably the most unlikely National League pennant winner in quite some time. You know, if you were following the baseball season, in the last 10 games of the season, the Phillies were out of it, completely out of it, and they had to basically fight their way back into the playoffs. Now, this year, the Phillies benefited from the expanded playoffs because they now have six teams instead of five in each league, and they were number six. And they got into the playoffs, and they beat St. Louis, and they beat San Diego, and they're going to the World Series. So congratulations to them. But, you know, one of the great things about sports, of course, is the unpredictability of sports. You know, the fact that the least likely of all of the postseason teams is going to the World Series. So they've got something going on that team, and I wouldn't want to play him right now, because when a team gets hot like that, a lot of crazy things happen. All of a sudden, players begin to hit home runs and pitchers begin to pitch way over their heads. And this is how you get a championship team. But congratulations to the Phillies. I have many friends who are Phillies fans, and I'm sure they're having a wonderful time today. Post over at the American Thinker today, Sunday morning, talking about what is happening at the University of Florida. You know, they're looking at a new president, and one of the candidates is Senator Sassy of Nebraska. Now, Senator Sassy, of course, is a conservative, I would say a man of principle, a man who has certain ideas about the Constitution and the role of government. And, you know, he is not very popular, apparently, with some of the students at the University of Florida who showed up and were calling him homophobic and racist. So what's new? Every time you disagree with somebody, they're homophobic and they're racist these days. But I think, you know, the Post gets to another point, another question, and that is, why is it up to the university students to say something about who the president of the university is? If they don't like the president, they can go to another university. They can go to another school. I mean, this is up to the administrators, who are the ones who are interviewing and looking at different candidates. So, I mean, look, it's crazy what's going on in the universities. And the other thing, too, is the intolerance of some of these students. If you disagree with them, you're automatically homophobic and you're automatically racist. I guess many of these students don't like the fact that Senator Sassy believes that marriage is between a man and a woman. I guess they find that objectionable. I wonder if they thought the same thing when Barack Obama was running for president, because that's what he used to say, that marriage was between a man and a woman. But I guess they probably didn't know that or overlooked that. So look, I think these students need to grow up. They're the students. The administration selects the president. If they don't like the president, go to another school. That's all I can say. Go to another school. And frankly, some of these students need to learn something about debate and tolerance of other points of view. And they need to stop calling everybody a racist or a homophobic if you don't share their points of view. We're going to talk today a little bit about what is happening politically, and we'll do this a couple of times before the election. But clearly, the tendency of the polling data is starting to favor the Republicans. The RCP average, and that's Real Clear Politics, is RCP. And what they do is the polls and then just give you an average. And it's, you know, it's not the best way to do it, but it's honestly the only way to do it, because if you just look at one poll, you know, you may not get a true picture. So what they do is they look at all of them, they just put them and give you an average. And at the moment, they're seeing something that other pollsters are seeing, and that is there's movement toward the Republican Party in all of the different elections across the country. So what they're projecting right now, what they are projecting right now is in the House, the Republicans are going to win anywhere from 12, that's the low number, to 47, that's the high number, probably settling in about 29 seats. That would put the Republicans somewhere around 240, 235 to 240, which is a pretty, you know, a pretty good majority to have in the House. Over in the Senate, it's even more interesting because, you know, the Senate was always the one that was going to be a little bit more difficult because that's just the way that, you know, the Senate is. It's more difficult to win states than to win districts. But now, as of today, 2 weeks before the election, they are projecting that the Republicans will end up with a plus three, or they are projecting a 53-47 Senate, Republican majority, that is. And the three seats that they are projecting as pickups are Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. Now, those would be, you know, natural Republican Senate seats. I mean, those are states that normally were Republican states, but over the last couple of elections, they've tilted a little bit to the left and more Democrat. But those three, if those three come in, and they're also projecting that the Republicans will hold Pennsylvania, which means at the end of the day, again, according to this projection, it would be 53-47 or plus three for the Republicans. Now, there are people out there, and I trust them, who are also looking at what they call a tsunami. And if there is a tsunami, an electoral tsunami, and one of the early signs of the electoral tsunami is going to be the state of New York. If you're tuning in on election night and the state of New York goes Republican, meaning the governor's race, or is very close to call at 9:30, 10 o'clock our time here in the central time, if you see that, then that's probably a sign of a tsunami. And that means that then you could have all kinds of crazy things going on in the Senate. For example, New Hampshire could go Republican. The current senator in New Hampshire, Senator Hassan, this is a lady who won her last election in 2016 by like 1,500 votes. So she was never a very strong candidate to begin with. So I think she could go down if there is a big wave. Then there's also talk of Colorado and Washington. Now, those would be real pickups. I don't think that's going to happen, frankly. I don't think Colorado and Washington are going to go Republican. I think the Democrats will hold that, but it won't be the kind of landslide I think they thought they were going to have, let's say, in a normal situation. So, you know, RCP is projecting that the Republicans are going to have a pretty good night, and they're doing that based on all the polling data, and they're seeing what many of us are seeing is a trend toward the Republican Party in the projections or the polling data coming in. Here in Texas, the very latest information that we have on the governor's race is Governor Abbott is plus nine. Again, when you look at all the averages, he's plus nine. That would mean a final result of 54-45, something like that. That's about where I think it's going to be. I've been saying that it's going to be 7, 8, or 9 plus for Governor Abbott, and it could be 9, it could be 8, it could be 7. But, you know, no matter which number it comes in, it'll be a healthy reelection for Governor Abbott. Now, we're going to be keeping an eye on these election results or projections over the next couple of weeks. We have a show coming up on the Friday before the election. We're going to be talking to Barry Castleman, the Prairie editor, and he'll give us his very latest numbers or projections for the Senate. He follows that quite closely. And then during the week, we're going to be chatting with our friend George Rodriguez, and we'll take a closer look at the elections here in Texas. There are some really contested seats on the border, some very interesting elections on the border. You could actually have three Republican women winning three districts on the border, and that would be quite an upset. That would be quite an upset. I think one of them is already pretty much projected to win. The other two are very competitive elections. One of them, the current district or the seat held by Representative Henry Cuellar, who's a pretty conservative guy, but he is in the fight of his life to hold on to that district. So some good things happening, some good numbers coming in, and I think the best number of all is that apparently abortion is not the factor that the Democrats thought it was going to be. They invested so much of their campaign rhetoric and so much of their hopes and dreams about this election on the topic of abortion, and that apparently has not or will not turn out to be what they thought it was. I never did either, because abortion is one of those topics that cuts both ways and get some here, but you lose some there. And at the end of the day, people this year are going to vote for the economy. That's going to be the number one issue, the economy. And that's not a good topic, frankly, for the Democrats at the moment here in the midterm elections coming up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And again, congratulations to the Phillies, the National League pennant champions. They will be playing either the Astros or the Yankees next Friday. Bye-bye, everybody, and thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.